Hey everybody, welcome to the program. Oh, we are live at 12:30-ish.
We're live whenever we want to be.
It's Sunday. This is the last Sunday show for a while. Because we're going to... Not because it's over. But because we're going to switch back to Saturday. Because starting really soon here now.
2 weeks. We're two weeks away from the NFL season.
That means we won't want to be doing a show on Sunday because we want to watch the football.
So actually, real question is, next weekend, right?
Yeah.
We actually could do two divisions. We don't have to do the last four today.
Okay, let's do two, then two.
I think it's appropriate then to do the Southern divisions because of the things that have happened, the things that have transpired.
Okay.
It would make most sense to me.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's do that.
I legitimately last night, I'm making my list for the AFC South. And while I'm making my list, I had to move my number one team that I was going to say is the team going to win the division today. I had to move them down to fourth.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I had to move the team that I had third to first. So that's how much happened.
Who's on second? Like,
huh?
I said, who's on second?
Who's on second? So, yeah, we're going to find out. I've been asked a lot of questions this week. People on Twitter, Facebook, whatever, keep asking me my opinions on things. And I say, you know what? How about you watch the fucking show on Sunday instead? Because these are all things I was planning on talking about.
I'm trying to get to where your name is not on your picture. I don't know why your name is on your picture still. We know who you are.
No, you don't. No one knows.
It's not disappearing. No, whatever. It doesn't matter. It just looks like a Skype screen, and normally it doesn't.
Yeah, I've never seen that before. Why is it doing that? And I don't like it.
I don't either.
Oh. I just opened it, and it was like the first thing I heard when I opened the Facebook feed is, we know who you are.
There we go. I fixed it, baby. I fixed it. Damn, baby, it's a snake. All right.
Damn, baby.
So, yeah, big news. Big news. Big news out of the NFL. Today we're going to, we're going to talk about the NFC and AFC South.
Yep. We're going to talk about the football player formerly known as Andy Luck.
Uh-huh. And we do have a little teensy tiny bit of NBA today based on some stuff that happened.
Yeah, just a little bit of basketball, baby.
A little bit of basketball, baby. Still no MLB. I have decided that this year is a wash on baseball. I really was like, man, we're getting closer to October and we should be talking more baseball. And, yesterday I tried watching a little bit and, Bree had to work all day yesterday. So I tried watching some baseball. And then as I was watching it, I was like, I don't care about this right now. I just still don't care about it. So I don't know if it's me or if it's them, or if it's, I don't know, you? I don't know. Don't care, not interested.
I like Childress' comment. He's like, why is your pop filter behind your microphone? It's because I'm on this side of the microphone, bud.
I think he sees... Okay, so your microphone's the same color as your pop filter, so it almost kind of looks like the pop filter's on our side. Looking at you.
Interesting.
He's seeing an optical illusion.
Josh, if you're still watching, you're seeing an optical illusion and everything's fine.
Everything's fine. Everything is not as it seems. Let's talk about it. So Andy Luck, who had a really great comeback season last year. Didn't he win comeback player of the year even?
He even won comeback player of the year. Andrew Luck is one of those players, you can say it about a lot of starting quarterbacks, but when they play, that team wins. But he's to the degree when he plays, that team makes the playoffs. Like, it's that much of a difference, right? Like, Aaron Rodgers plays, the Packers win more games. I think that's fair to say about a lot of starting quarterbacks. But Andrew Luck plays, and he borderline wins MVP because he makes his team go to the playoffs.
Yeah. And so he's been out in the preseason for his ankle. But I'm wondering though, from his press conference though, where he says he's basically, he doesn't want to do what he did in 2016, which is where he's in pain, and, you know. So, but I'm wondering, though, if it's the ankle that's giving him issues where he's foreseeing that if he keeps playing, he's going to have issues with his leg, or I'm wondering if his shoulder is giving him problems again. Or never quit giving him problems, basically. Like, do you think...
No, or do you think it's everything? It's the fact, I think it's the fact that it's a whole new injury is what kind of drove it. So,
yeah. Okay.
It turns into an issue of, here's another thing, like, on the long list of things that have given him trouble, and he just doesn't want to recover from another.
Yeah. Again, he wouldn't have any of these injuries had the Indianapolis Colts built him an offensive line over the course of 7 years.
I mean, exactly. Someone, you know what? I saw some Facebook comments on it yesterday, and someone said, man, if they would have given him a line, this wouldn't have happened. It's like, well, they finally did. It's just, at this point, it's...
Too little, too late.
It's too little, too late, yeah. Exactly. Did you find the interview a little depressing?
Yeah, like, it's super depressing.
Did you want to, like, curl into a ball, maybe take, like, 12 shots of tequila and then not leave your room?
Yes, I did.
Because that's what I did.
Well, especially since they do a really good job on the interview. I will say that whoever cut the interview. Excuse me. They did a really good job on the interview of cutting it right at when he says, I'm retiring. Because honestly, when you just start, if you were just go into watching that interview and you saw him just standing there, I mean, he's wearing just a Colts t-shirt and stuff. He doesn't right. look like he's about ready to retire. He even addresses that in the interview. Where he's like, yeah, kind of weird way to dress in your retirement press conference. I know that. As I'm standing here in my player shirt.
Colts gear.
Yeah.
But I feel like everything about the interview was weird. So he, like, starts it by being like, I know it's going to seem like I'm, like, cold and emotionless. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, well, it's Andrew Luck. He's just a smart dude. Like, dudes as intelligent as he is aren't very... dramatic in any interview that they do, but I will say during parts of the interview it did seem like he was just gonna like break down altogether.
Yeah,
like did. He did his best to to mask it for sure. I was like, oh, this dude's gonna fall apart and just like go murder a kitten
at
some point.
And he at some point, like, he in the interview though, he reconfirms everything that we know about Andrew Luck, and is that he's probably one of the more likable guys that's ever been in the NFL. It's hard to watch the guy retire. And it's hard when you hear him say that he's not happy anymore.
Right.
That he doesn't,
I know, you feel bad for him. You're like, Andrew Luck's not happy?
He doesn't enjoy, he says he doesn't enjoy the game anymore. He doesn't enjoy it anymore because he's in pain. I get it. I mean, I don't get it because I'm not an NFL player, thank God. But, I mean, he had a great... I still think he had a great career. I mean, he's not going to be a Hall of Famer.
I think he's not going to be a Hall of Famer.
I don't think so. I think
it's just given to him. Honestly, like, he's going to be the one person it's just given to.
I'm also wondering. I mean, I would be okay with that because I really like him, and I think he's definitely something like, you know, Rich Eisen always says it best though, where it's like, he's like, there's some players where you're like, I'm going to tell my grandkids about him.
Right.
And I think he'd be one of them that you would. Sometimes I like to think about, over the last, you know, 24 hours, I was thinking about this, though, Zach. Like, if they would have kept Peyton Manning and had Andrew Luck play behind him a couple more seasons.
Right.
If, you know, rather than rushing him out there.
I mean, but he was ready. The thing about Andrew Luck compared
ready,
to other,
I'm just trying to think. Trying to think for like longevity, though, if we could have lengthened out that career a little bit longer. Ugh.
I mean, possibly. I don't think the career was meant to go any longer. I think Josh just said it, and you can tell. Like, it's like even with the interview last night, like, or the press conference, excuse me. The dude was checked out. Like, absolutely. Like, he's over this.
Yeah.
And nobody should feel bad for a dude that's made over $100 million by the age of 29.
No.
Like, the dude's getting to retire before he's 30. Must be nice.
Yeah.
I don't feel like he wants to be out there anymore. He's tired of being hurt. So, I personally had to say to three different people last night, you know what? He retired at 29 years old doing something he couldn't do anymore. Like, he's over it. I think we should be over it. We're more used to watching Andrew Luck not play football than watching Andrew Luck play football. That's how the last few seasons have gone.
That's true. So, and I would say, like, do you feel like with him getting comeback player of the year last year and having the season they had, like, I'd still feel pretty good if I'm Andy Luck, really. He got a comeback from a huge injury. He had a good season. A really cool comeback season. We're in the first game, Zach. The first game, right. He couldn't throw a Hail Mary.
Right.
And everyone in the world, including you and I, went, uh-oh.
Right.
But then ended up having a good season, and it was like, oh.
He had a fantastic season. I threw him under the bus after game one.
Well, no, I mean, I think we all did. It was definitely like, I mean, watching that game, I watched that game because I wanted to see his comeback.
Right.
And when they brought him out there to throw a Hail Mary, they brought somebody else out to throw a Hail Mary, it was like, oh, no. Is he never going to be able to do this again?
Right, and then by the end of the year, he looked great. So he really did get it together, and I just think that another injury was just too much.
And then
I watched a bunch of those
compilations today of him getting hit and then saying, nice hit.
he's too nice of a dude.
Which is ironic now, right? Because, nice hit, man.
It probably should have been, hey, quit it.
hey, man, good hit, big guy. Man, you're just killing me out there today. Man,
I'm probably going to retire at 29, slugger.
I'm going to have to retire in a couple years.
Thanks a lot. I really appreciate it.
Jesus, that dude. Do you think... I was thinking about this, too. He's loaded. Do you think he has any future in broadcasting or anything? I don't know about that.
You know what's funny? That was, like, my first thought. I'm like, I wonder how quickly he will be on either, like, ESPN or Fox or, you know, CBS. CBS automatically seemed like the spot for him.
Yeah.
But here's... He's 29. Like, what if in, like, 3 years he just comes back and plays more football?
What if next
year
he comes back?
32 years old is young for a quarterback in the National Football League now.
What if he comes back?
That was my first two thoughts. Like, one, he's probably going to be a commentator within, like, a couple of months, which would be awesome because ESPN needs him because their Monday Night Football broadcast is absolutely trash these days.
Yeah.
And, two was like, oh, he'll probably do it, and the next thing you know, he's gonna go back to the field.
Or what if he goes coaching route?
I don't see him as a coach. No? I can see him being like his dad and being like back in college, running some sort of like vice president of athletics or something like that. Okay. But
he goes back and he becomes an athletic director.
Right.
Sure. Okay. RIP to people's fantasy leagues.
That's the big thing is I had friends last night drafting while this was happening. So me personally, I was watching the Florida Miami game because it was a fantastic way to kick off the college football season.
Yes.
But I had friends that were in the middle of their draft and 15 minutes after they drafted Andrew Luck, they find out that they will not be having Andrew Luck. And you know what? People already were drafting him late because of the injuries and stuff. So they were like, oh, if he's still available near the end of my draft, I'll take him as like a flyer or like a backup quarterback. But there are people who took him as their only quarterback late just because of the value you could potentially get. And now they are already next day looking for a new quarterback for their team.
Maybe they could pick up Jacoby Brissett.
Jacoby,
is that what it is? Jacoby.
He's played enough NFL games, people should know what his name is. He is also the guy who came in to throw that Hail Mary. I think Jacoby Brissett is a good quarterback.
I do too.
By the end of this broadcast, since we are talking about the AFC South, I will explain why he is not a good enough quarterback to win very many games.
Do you remember going back on Brissett, though? Do you remember when he got, when him and both Garoppolo... Like, we were pretty surprised when the Patriots got rid of both of them.
Right.
Like, Garoppolo was like, yeah, we get it. you know, he's not going to want to be the second fiddle. You know, he's got a career probably ahead of him. But then to go with both Brissett and Garoppolo, I was like, who does Brady have for a backup now?
Right.
It was Hoyer, right? Or Kizer?
Well, they had to go get Hoyer after all that. That's right, and that was Hoyer's second time there. Now, believe me, it does not matter. We haven't done the East yet.
I think we were going to. We're going to do it next week now.
But they are doing just fine now. And I'm excited to talk about it. I know everyone else is like me, and they're really hot on the Jarrett Stidman train because the rookie out of Auburn looks like he is potentially the best rookie quarterback in the entire draft, and he went to the Patriots in the third round. But I think he also just fits their system. He could be a guy very similar to Mallett or Brissett or any other Patriots quarterback we've seen over the last decade, backup Tom Brady. And if he ends up going somewhere else to be a starter, it might not look as good. But right now, everyone else is on that hype train, and I am on it as well. I'm also on that train. So also during fantasy drafts last night, I know this because I was out with some buddies who just came from a fantasy draft.
Another team from the AFC South.
Yeah, Lamar Miller tore his ACL. Now, I think he actually got hurt before a lot of my friends started their draft, but they announced that it was an ACL at some point during their draft, and that's, which has to be rough.
Season ending.
Now, the Texans, about a few weeks ago, like 3 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago, made that trade for Duke Johnson from the Browns, which now, fortunate timing, but I was explaining to some of my fantasy football friends that that doesn't really have an overall impact because he is more of a like scat back PPR, 15 touches a game.
Yeah.
Most of them are going to be in the passing game. I don't think his workload changes. They're still going to need to find like a between the tackles workhorse running back to be their primary ball carrier. I don't think that just because of this injury, you can say, oh, now Duke Johnson gets 25 touches a game. I don't think we're at that point.
Also with fantasy on that topic, how many people you think took Antonio Brown?
How many people have taken Antonio Brown?
Yeah.
Antonio Brown has dropped to a late second rounder, early third rounder. I think that's where his ADP is currently.
Yeah.
I know on a lot of big boards, he's somewhere between like 18 and 20 as far as rankings go. So he's not a first round pick anymore. This isn't like last year where I had a league where I was able to, I had to take him one overall to get him.
Yeah.
I will say that was a keeper league, so I'd already kept Ezekiel Elliott, so my team was already stacked, and that was a championship team. This year, if you get him at the end of the second round, even still, with all of this shit going on, if you could still get Antonio Brown at the end of the second round where he is valued currently, that is awesome.
That's a good one.
Like, because I will have the last pick of the second round in my draft next week, and if Antonio Brown is sitting there, I would take him.
Okay.
If you can get a wide receiver one, and he is a wide receiver one, at the end of the second round in a PPR league, you fucking do that shit
now,
10 times out of 10.
If he ends up not playing because of his helmet or his feet or whatever, or just because he's him, do you think he owes the fantasy league, the fantasy owners, an apology? Or I wanted to segue into this because I
love how you did that. That was a
thank you.
Silky smooth transition.
Thank you very much. I thought you would appreciate
it. I'm not going to make the reference I was going to make.
I thought you liked that.
Let's just say this. You went from top to bottom without taking anything out. Okay. So I did the entire analogy that I wasn't going to do.
Perfect.
But,
so
have to take anything out.
So tell me, do you think he owes the fantasy owners an apology?
No, I fucking don't.
You don't? We
are now officially in 2019 culture where now if you don't play for a team that you've signed a contract to for any reason, whether it's retirement,
uh-huh.
or the Steelers aren't paying you enough,
uh-huh.
or you cryogenically freeze your foot, or whatever he did. You have to apologize to fantasy owners because uh-huh. they get mad at you.
Yeah.
And you are a brand in the yeah. National Football League. Sure. So you feel obligated. I'm sure they have publicists or managers or someone who's like, you yeah. should probably retire, or not retire, but apologize for
yeah.
retiring Andrew Luck.
It's
apologize to your fantasy owners.
It's social media, though, right? It's because
it's social media.
It's because when you are not getting paid enough by the Steelers and you go play for another team, you've been raked through the coals for the last year by fantasy owners who drafted you.
Right.
So, of course, we're talking about Le'Veon Bell, who
did it first. He was the first one to apologize for it, yeah.
Apologize to fantasy owners. I don't know, was it a serious apology, or was it kind of tooth and or tongue in cheek? Was it, or was it kind of both, maybe?
You know, it didn't seem tongue in cheek by any means. It felt quick and brief and not serious. Okay. I will say that, but it wasn't like he was mocking anybody. It just seemed like he was like, hey, because I mean, he's in New York now. If you think about it, like,
yeah,
I'm assuming there has to be some sort of correlation as a brand, as a human, you are a brand of the National Football League. I'm sure there is some sort of correlation between being a high fantasy pick and how much sponsorship you get, right? Like, if you are year in and year out a first round fantasy pick, I'm assuming there is money that comes along with that. So yeah. I think his apology was completely geared to still draft me high. I'm gonna play. I'm gonna be good. And also, P.S. I'm sorry, because some people are fantasy football. No matter what people say about it being calculated and they people doing their research, like, oh yeah, I spent all offseason looking at, you know, stats from last year and ADPs in mock drafts. It's whatever. Once the actual fantasy draft starts, emotion kicks in. For example, if I like a player and they're not projected to go until like four or five picks later, maybe the next round, I'm still going to take them if I like them. I have that curse of last year yeah. I liked Royce Freeman in college, and so I believed all of the rookie running back hype that Royce Freeman was a steal. If you can get him in the third round as your running back two, that's going to be the rookie surprise. And, of course, Philip Lindsay ended up taking the job in Denver from him. But yeah, I mean, so I probably drafted him a little early.
If you're Andy King, you try to get every Seattle Seahawk that you can.
Right. Even, like, I've seen Andy King draft Russell Wilson mm-hmm. in, like, the second round before, when you shouldn't be getting a quarterback before, like, the 10th round, in my opinion. I've seen Andy Luck, King, draft the Seattle Seahawks defense in the third round before, when you don't take a defense till the very end of the draft, like round 15, 16. I have seen Andy King draft, and this is only because I've been in multiple leagues with Andy King.
Yeah, absolutely.
Draft multiple Seattle Seahawks running backs who have never played a game that season for that team.
Yeah. I mean, the point is there are people out there, if you have a favorite player on a team, or you have a favorite team, there are people out there that will go for that route no matter what. There is probably an amount of people who took Andy Luck in the first round because they're Colts fans or because they like Andy Luck.
Yeah, maybe not first round, but like
close
top five rounds. Like, sure. They would have taken, like, there are people who like a quarterback so much that the first quarterback off the board shouldn't be that first quarterback off the board. For example, like, if the first quarterback off the board in any fantasy football league is not Patrick Mahomes, then you're dumb. But there are people that are like, I'm a diehard Patriots fan, so I'm going to take Tom Brady uh-huh. in the fifth round. Or whatever.
Or how many people you think took, you know, they probably took Baker Mayfield. A lot of people probably took Baker Mayfield.
Well, pretty Baker high. Mayfield is a top 10 quarterback, according yeah. to some people. I think he's not. But if he is a top 10 quarterback, then he is the only quarterback you are going to draft on your team. Because having two quarterbacks on your team in like a 10-man league is, first, it's stupid. You're dumb. if you draft two quarterbacks in a 10-man league. So, but I would not judge someone if they took Baker Mayfield as their quarterback. I would judge them if they did it in like the first seven rounds of fantasy football. I'd be like, oh, this person's an idiot, and I'm going to beat them in fantasy football this year.
Cool.
But I love thinking that. I actually, what I like to do, I was talking about this last night with a buddy who goes, you know, I've never had a favorite football NFL team. He's like, I'm a baseball guy. Uh-huh. Shout out to Damien. He's probably not listening because he's probably driving back to Lewiston right now. But he goes, I've always been a baseball guy, and then I have other teams, but I've never had a football team. And so for the NFL, I've kind of just rooted for teams that have players that I like. And then I started playing fantasy football, and I realized that's exactly what fantasy football is.
Yeah.
And I agree, if you are a biased fantasy football player and only take players that you like. Like, there are people that do that.
Well,
I take players that I hate sometimes and then find myself rooting for their teams on Sunday because I want my team to do well.
I have a friend who plays fantasy football for the simple reason of being familiar with the other teams. She's a Green Bay Packers fan, but she plays fantasy football so that she could be kind of be hooked in to be familiar with the other teams during the regular season.
Well, and it gives you a reason to watch games when your team's not playing.
Yeah, which I think was the overall reasoning for fantasy football.
Ultimately. I mean, I haven't watched the if anyone watches the Peyton Manning ESPN Plus show, he does an episode on the birth of fantasy football that's worth watching.
Is it good?
That show in general is entertaining. There's no other person. I don't think there's any other like retired NFL player that could host that show besides for him. So
check that out.
Take it for what you will.
I've been watching.
It's worth watching. I mean, you learn a lot of NFL history on it.
I've been watching Foul Play, SB Nation Foul Play, talking about Ole Miss.
Okay.
On YouTube, there are 30-minute episodes. Really good. Kind of reminiscent of like 30 for 30. Which if you...
Well, yeah.
I don't have 30 for 30 anymore because it's not on Netflix, but...
Well, it's because you got to watch on the ESPN Plus app. They have all...
Well, which 30. I might be doing that now because you're going to be able to get Disney with it too, and Hulu apparently. That's going to be the bundle. We're in the age of bundling now.
Well, yeah, and Hulu's already bundled with Spotify, so
I know.
I'm sure that they'll eventually just pepper them all together at one point. And I've already said this. This is not a sports topic, but I have talked about it multiple times. It's just, like, history repeats itself in different ways. So before, that's what a cable package was.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, I want this channel and this channel and this channel.
Yeah.
So then all of a sudden they started putting them together into packages, and you would pick one and buy one. The same thing is going to happen with streaming apps. They're going to eventually there will be some consolidated app that you could pay like $50 a month for, and it'll have like HBO Go, Netflix, Hulu, Disney Plus, and then like, I don't know, like ESPN.
Yeah.
Plus or whatever. Yeah. All together, and you'll just pay like one flat fee to one service, and then you'll have all of that.
Yep, you're right. You're right.
And then you're like, oh, things have changed so much. It's like, have they, or really is it just the exact same shit you were already paying for 10 years ago?
But you know what? That isn't a sports related topic, but that is a sports program related topic, because we have talked about how we both have tried Hulu Sports out and it was garbage. Or Hulu TV. Hulu Live TV.
And we both had YouTube TV, I thought was great for sports.
Little spendy
if you're only watching sports off of it, because half of the sports channels are ones you can get with like rabbit ears, you know.
Yeah.
And then the other half you can have on the ESPN Plus app. But
if they could drop it down about $15 to $20 a month, though, I would handily pick it back up. And actually, I might pick it back up anyways once the season starts, because I want to watch all the college football that I can that's on so many screens, and I want to watch, you know.
Well,
it is good for sports.
That's what I was going to say. My biggest problem with these, the fact that it's not consolidated right now, my biggest problem is that I can't watch everything that I want to watch in one place when you don't have something like that. So that's why these like packaging of different apps is so important. It's because I do have like a digital receiver for, you know, Fox, ABC, CBS.
As do
and
I.
And then I have the ESPN Plus app. But I don't want to have to, like, figure out how I'm going to watch something every time that I want to watch a sport. And
it's nuts.
Here's another one. I'm a hockey guy, so when hockey season comes around, the Penguins play a lot on NBC Sports Network, which if I don't have YouTube TV, then I can't really watch.
Yep.
I think maybe you can log into the NBC app with, like, a cable subscription.
Yeah.
But I don't have a cable. So it's like... It's nice to have somewhere where you can go, oh, I can watch hockey, college football, pro football, all of this from, like, one place.
I know the BR Live came up, and I'm like, God, I don't want another thing to have.
Another app to download, another login to remember.
Yeah.
It's an interesting time for sports, and I hope that they eventually figure it out. Like, let's find a way to go back to the old days where at least, like, all you had to do was turn your TV on and know what channel to go to.
That would be nice. Geez, are we talking about getting cable?
We're not getting cable. But
anyway,
because the thing is, they're not on there anymore. They're on Bleacher Report Live and ESPN Plus, which is not the same as ESPN.
Nope.
And it's like add-ons. You know what I mean? Realistically, they're all just add-ons.
And YouTube, like, Red is not the same as YouTube TV.
Yeah, they're separate.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like when you buy a video game and you're like, oh, I really want this part of the video game, and they're like, oh yeah, that you can have it, but it's another $6.
Yeah. That's exactly it.
That is what all of the sports are turning into as well. Yeah. This is turning into a completely different conversation.
Sorry.
It started with apologies to fantasy football owners,
which we believe you should not have to do. Do not do that.
Are you with me on that? You should not even acknowledge fantasy football owners at any point as a pro athlete.
No. I think it's fun. There was a while there where I thought it was fun to hear NFL players say that they played fantasy football. I always thought that was really interesting and kind of fun because they're in the game. And then they get done watching the game, and then they go watch other games. And then it's like...
Right.
So I always thought that's kind of interesting and kind of cool. It's fun. Otherwise... Oh, and I don't mind it when Rich Eisen talks about it on his show, and he has other people come in. And they do, like, their Celebrity League, which is kind of fun. I think they have The Miz in it this year, and the Bella Twins are not doing it because they got kicked out because I think they were too low last year, so they got booted. And they made jokes that said they were going to take a steel chair for mentioning them on the air. Like, it's fun. I've never really played fantasy football. We will have the Pick'em app, though, in case anybody was wondering. I'll be setting that up here shortly. We will be doing Pigskin Pick'em again. We'll start sending invites out for that and posting it all over our Facebooks. And please come play. We had a lot of people do it last year, and it was a lot of fun. And Paul Page won, so...
Shout out to Paul. Okay, so where are we at?
We are going to talk NFC and AFC South.
I say we've already been talking about Andrew Luck and Lamar Miller, so let's go AFC South first.
Yeah, and which, by the way, I believe you already kind of touched on it, but my choices have changed on this now.
I think they have to. Like, if you're like, oh, I thought the – like. So last year, like, realistically, I know we're talking about the Colts. Like, I'm assuming that maybe you have them already at number one. I actually have them at number one as winning the division.
I had them winning the division. Their division.
So, but the only problem with that is they didn't even win the division last year, right?
No.
Like,
no.
The Texans won the division last year.
Yeah, but I had them winning it this year.
Yeah, and I was in the exact same spot. So I thought they could both be playoff teams, similar.
Yeah, same here. I just had them winning, and I had the Texans maybe being a wild card.
Right. But after yesterday, I feel like to say that that's in the same spot has got to be crazy.
No.
I thought the Colts last year, like we alluded to earlier, did a great job of building a line finally for Andrew Luck. It seemed like with like two good tight ends and that receiving core, like he was making stuff happen. They actually gave him more weapons over the offseason, and their extremely young defense got better. So there was plenty of reasons to want to take the Colts. That being said,
I am not.
They do not have Andrew Luck.
No, and now without Andy Luck, I am actually going to. It's completely changed it for me now. I have the Texans winning it now. Now it's actually more. So it was kind of weird as I had the Jaguars and the Titans kind of struggling for against each other. The Titans I can't rule out yet, though, still. You know, like they... So maybe the Titans could be a good wild card now.
Okay. Well, I mean, I think between the Jags and the Titans, yeah, one of them has not just a really good shot to get a wild card, but I would say, depending on what the Jaguars get out of Nick Foles, because I think their defense is back to being an absolute monster.
Yeah.
Not only are they back to being an absolute monster, but after watching these like preseason games, I'm like, really? Like, how did Josh Allen drop to them? Defensive Josh Allen for you Bills fans, not the same. At one point in time, Josh Allen out of Kentucky was supposed to be either the first, second, or third player drafted in last year's NFL draft, and somehow drops like 10 slots and goes to what was already one of the best defenses in the NFL, and they look even better by adding him. That defense is insane. So it really depends. Can Leonard Fournette stay healthy? What are they getting out of Nick Foles? That wide receiver core, like, do we trust Marquise Lee, D.D. Westbrook? I don't know. Huge question mark on offense for me, but amazing defense. To me, that just kind of screams similar to like the Baltimore Ravens do this year, which I have as like an 8-8 team. So I'm going to keep Jacksonville there, maybe give them an extra win because now they'll get an extra win against the Colts, right? That being said, I actually have the Tennessee Titans winning the division, not Houston. I was already leaning towards them being maybe like a 9-7 team. I don't see anybody in this division winning more than 10 games.
No.
I think Houston won 11 last year. I think losing Lamar Miller is not a huge deal, but it is a deal. Because I think they have Deontay Foreman as a backup, and I think he's a quality backup, especially combined with Duke Johnson. And I just, to me, they don't scream like outstanding team. Like a team that can go all the way and maybe win a championship. I am interested to watch Deshaun Watson this year. I don't know what they're going to get out of him as far as can he get like take an even further step to being an elite quarterback, because I feel like people are starting to think he could be fringe elite quarterback. Hopkins needs to stay healthy. I think with Hopkins being healthy, Will Fuller, who when they both were playing last year, that team was pretty insane on offense. Fantasy football owners are like, I think everyone knows that plays fantasy football is like, Will Fuller is a great like a flyer late because the dude's a touchdown machine when he's healthy. Not a lot of touches, but still. But I think it's a two-horse race to win it between Houston and Tennessee. I just personally think that some people are questioning Marcus Mariota, right?
Yeah.
And some people even think it's a battle between Marcus and Ryan Tannehill. I disagree.
I do not think that.
I think that Tannehill is just there as an insurance policy.
Yeah.
Because Marcus Mariota has been kind of injury-prone.
Mm-hmm.
But I still like the combination of Deion Lewis and Derrick Henry at running back. They have the biggest question marks at wide receiver out of anyone. Like, they're young. Also, they picked up, like, Adam Humphries, I think, over the offseason. I don't know if he's an actual, like, number one wide receiver. But I do like Taywan Taylor and Taj Sharp. Delanie Walker needs to stay healthy. But I think their defense is outstanding. I think they are the least talked about good defense in the league. I like Vrabel as a coach. There's just something about that team that I like. Like, I'm like, they're not going to lose close games. And I don't think Marcus Mariota is going to take the steps to being an elite quarterback, but I do know that it is a contract year for him, so he will play better.
Yeah.
And better for Marcus Mariota is still good because he's not a dude who turns the ball over. And he's great in the red zone. That is the one thing that he does excel at as an NFL quarterback is once they get in the red zone, the guy walks away with touchdowns.
Yep.
So
I guess the question has to be asked then, are we both going to put the Colts at the bottom now without luck?
I think they are the bottom of the division.
Yeah.
I don't think that's even like a hard
thing
to
either.
Do.
No.
Maybe Jacoby Brissett surprises all of us, right? And
I'd be all right if he did. I'd be all right with it.
there's a reason that he stayed and didn't like go to a different team. Like they kind of like seems like the Colts kind of knew this might happen.
Yeah.
And that was the guy that they wanted just in case. So he's going to get his chance. Like Jacoby Brissett, you're officially an NFL starting quarterback, yeah, not a fringe starting quarterback, not a you just have the job because the guy's hurt. Like this is your job now. So
do you think is there any chance they tank for Tua?
I don't think they would intentionally tank for Tua. If they lose games, it is because they are not good.
Okay.
Yeah.
It is not. There is no tanking involved. No. I would say there's a lot of people on that team that are trying to prove themselves as NFL starters. Marlon Mack's a great example. Jacoby Brissett's a great example. They have a very good young offensive line and defense. So I don't know. By the end of the year, we could be talking about them as, like, how do they win this many games? Good story. It's a good story if they win games.
Yeah, it is, actually. It is.
But this division is kind of just full of good stories.
I think so, too. Yeah, I think this is going to be a fun division to watch, actually. Honestly, I was interested in the Colts, obviously, with Luck there. I'm interested in the Colts without Luck there. I'm interested to see what they do.
Yeah, it just creates a whole different storyline. I think with Luck healthy, that would have been also a very good story, obviously.
Yeah.
Comeback player of the year 1 year, potential MVP the next. I really thought that's where we were heading.
I kind of thought so, too.
It was like, oh, yeah, 1 year after winning comeback player of the year, the guy is MVP caliber.
Yeah.
I do think he could have been that good.
Yeah.
Once again, back to the beginning topic of the show. It's just frustrating, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But,
well,
I think
it's in the title
Mariota
of the
contract
episode.
Year is a good story.
Yeah.
Houston, I wouldn't say good. There's a storyline there, but I think they're an exciting young team.
Yeah.
And then Nick Foles to the Jaguars. Like, will Nick Foles ever do anything outside of Philadelphia? So.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know.
I still would rather have Nick Foles than Blake Bortles. So.
I feel like that's the consensus. Like,
I don't think anybody's questioning that.
It's funny that Nick Foles really only... should only want a Super Bowl, because he won a Super Bowl. But we've seen in the past that doesn't prove that you're a great quarterback. Trent Dilfer won a Super Bowl, which I guess only old people would know. But Trent Dilfer won a Super Bowl. And so did Nick Foles. But people go, oh, well, I mean, you can't even compare Nick Foles and Blake Bortles. It's like, what did Blake Bortles do that was so bad except for just be an easy target?
I don't think Bortles is – he is an easy target, but under the same token, though, that franchise, like, going to the playoffs – was almost the worst thing that could have happened for them with Bortles. And we talked about that when it happened. Like, God, if they win games with him in the playoffs, they're going
to
pay
him.
They're going to keep him. And I never got the impression that they wanted him.
Right. It was like they wanted him to do bad. That way they could just clean break, move on. It's like when you're dating a girl and you're like, man, if she screws up, it's going to be so much easier to break this off. Like, I hope that she, like, I don't know, cheats on me. That'd be great. Because then, like, super easy reason.
Like, man, it'd be easy for me to break up with her if she just cheated on me.
Yeah, if she just cheated on me and told me about it immediately.
But instead she does pretty good.
Yeah, she's doing fine. But, like, I feel like... if she, like, has, like, a bad movie suggestion or burns my dinner, like, that's good enough.
Yeah.
That's good enough. I think I can work with that.
That's pretty funny. Absolutely.
With that.
Do you want to talk NFC South?
Let's do it.
This is it.
These are my guys.
We finally talked to the Steelers a couple weeks ago now, and now we've gotten to the Falcons now. Falcons, Panthers, Saints, Buccaneers.
Well, what's funny about this, speaking of injuries, that's why this is the perfect time to talk about this. The early preseason games this week were on Thursday, and the Panthers played the Patriots. Stidman looked good again, by the way.
Yeah.
The Carolina Panthers lose Cam Newton to an ankle injury.
Yep. How long is he out for?
We don't know. So they think he's ready to go week one, but this kind of similar... not so similar to Andrew Luck. kind of seems like history repeating itself, right?
What if he retires?
He should retire. So I love Andrew Luck, and I was bummed about it because I think everyone likes Andrew Luck.
Yeah.
But if Cam Newton retired, do you know how many of us would just be like, fucking good?
Yeah.
Because that's how I would be.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe it's just because my team's in that division, but I'd be like, oh, awesome. Yeah. I will say I'm a little bummed if he stays hurt because I was able to use DJ Moore at who I, by the way, DJ Moore was a rookie last year. I think both him and young blood Curtis Samuel at wide receiver are both fantasy steals if Cam Newton is healthy. I know Christian McCaffrey as a running back is like the one or two player in most people's fantasy drafts now, but I think that there is plenty of ball to go around in Carolina.
Yep.
And if Cam Newton's healthy, DJ Moore is going to eat. I used him as a keeper in one of my leagues because I thought that was a steal, getting him as a 16th round keeper, potential wide receiver two, maybe flex one. But now I'm scared because Cam Newton's hurt.
Right.
And they say he's going to be ready for week one, but how many times do people say someone's ready for week one and then you don't see him till week four or five?
I don't even know who he has. Who's his backup?
Will Greer, my dude, third round rookie pick out of West Virginia. That's my guy. Love him. I thought he could have been a first-round pick last year. I thought he was going to go, like, I said, like, second-to-last pick of the first round to the Patriots is what I thought he was going to go. And then they were able to get Sibman in the third round, and I'm like, well, where's Will Greer going to go? And he went to Carolina. That makes sense to me. They also have Kyle Allen. I think if can't – so two backups with zero NFL experience, let's just say that.
Yeah.
Scary, terrifying. Will Greer was probably being groomed for the future just in case Cam Newton was done 2 or 3 years from now.
Yeah.
I think that's why Will Greer is there, why he was drafted. I don't think he was drafted like many people are in the third round to be career backups.
Right.
I think he is a potential NFL starter, but he is not ready. I actually think they would go with Kyle Allen because I don't week one if they needed to, because I don't think they want to feed Will Greer to the Wolves.
Not yet.
That being said, this is the most talented I've seen Carolina's offense as a whole since Cam Newton's been there. So if Cam Newton is healthy, Christian McCaffrey, DJ Moore, Curtis Samuels, Chris Hogan, Torrey Smith, Greg Olsen, a lot of options for Cam if he's healthy. He apparently changed his throwing motion over the offseason. We didn't get to see a lot of that because he scrambled and got hurt. Their 4-3 defense is crazy. I think it's a very good defense.
Yep.
I still... I'm not hot on the Panthers. I actually think the Panthers and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers will both struggle mightily. Now, I only have the Bucs winning about four games.
Yep.
At most.
Watch that preseason game where they had five sacks against the Bucs and from the Browns?
Yeah.
In the first quarter?
Well, their line's trash, but their entire team's trash. The best, I mean, it's not like they don't have talent.
This
Mike
is Winston's
Evans
last
is a
season.
Top five receiver. O.J. Howard and Cameron Brate are both top, like, 10 receiving tight ends. It's just Jameis Winston's not very good.
I think this is Jameis Winston's last season as a starter.
I agree with
not
you.
Not just with the Buccaneers. I mean, in general, I don't think he plays as a starter anywhere.
Well, similar to what we were just talking about with... Marcus Mariota, they were same draft, so it's the contract year for both of them.
Yeah.
You would almost, and this also ties into Blake Bortles, you would almost hope that if you're that team, that he does bad, that way you can clean break.
If somehow the Buccaneers got into the playoffs, the people on that team are going to be upset.
Someone's going to be mad because they're like, fuck.
We have to pay him for a bit.
Give him money now.
That
he doesn't deserve the money.
No, he has troubles off the field, obviously. He's nuts. Yeah. He's an internet meme.
But that team's biggest problem is that they can't run block. Tampa Bay can't run block.
Yeah.
I actually like both Peyton Barber and Rojo Ronald Jones. I think they have two pretty good running backs, or at least talent-wise on paper, two pretty good running backs. Problem is, they can't run block, they don't pass block great, Whoever their quarterback is, no matter what, would probably struggle. But on the outside, they do have great weapons. Yeah. That being said, Tampa Bay is the worst team in the division. Panthers, second worst team in the division, whether Cam's healthy or not. That's just because, by the way, I'm not trying to take a dump on any of these teams. It's one of the toughest divisions in football every year, if not the toughest division in football every year. Because if you look at, on paper, my team, the Atlanta Falcons, who I'll get to next, they should be one of the best teams in football. The problem is that they're in the same division as the New Orleans Saints, who, even though Drew Brees is old as fuck, he's just old. He's an old guy. The rest of the team's very young and terrifying.
Yeah.
Probably one of the two best wide receivers in football. Probably one of the three best running backs in football. Great, great young defense. They pass block well. They run block well. Their coaching's fantastic.
Still one of the best coaches that's ever been.
Yeah, we're not doing our Super Bowl picks yet.
No.
But when we do, they may or may not be my team for the NFC.
You can't
the only time I'm ever going to say nice things about the Saints.
You can't ignore them. So I do have the Saints winning the division. But with the Falcons in there, though, I do think if the Falcons won that division, I would not be surprised.
Me neither. I'm just trying not to be biased right now.
I could go either way on both of those teams, though. Right. I do think that Tampa Bay is the worst team, and I think they will. I think about four games. If the Buccaneers won more games than the Panthers, I would be a little more surprised. But that's if they don't have Cam Newton. I don't know. The Saints to me and the Falcons are the two teams that just wouldn't surprise me. The Falcons have surprised me more in the last few years where they don't do better.
Right. Well, they're one of those teams where talent-wise you go, they should make the playoffs every year. It just shows how hard that is to do, both on the NFC in general, but the NFL.
Our two teams have very much in common.
You're going to slip up sometimes.
Pittsburgh's in the same boat, it has been. So, I mean, like, our two teams have very similar experiences there.
Well, and exactly. The Steelers, they're just expected to make the playoffs because they're the Steelers.
Right.
To me, it's very similar to the Patriots. Like, come on, your division is, I wouldn't say as much of a layup because they've always had Baltimore in their division, but the other two teams are the Browns and the Bengals.
Right.
There's really no reason that the Ravens and Steelers shouldn't both make the playoffs together every year.
Yeah.
But that being said, I actually think that both the Falcons and the Saints will make the playoffs. I have not given my second wild card team yet for the NFC, and I think I will now. I think that
your first one was
Green Bay Packers.
The Packers.
Because I think the Bears and the Packers both make the playoffs.
Okay.
So I wouldn't be surprised. Actually, but going back to that, I do have the Packers winning that division, so I should say the Bears would be that second playoff team.
Okay.
But I also, since we've done that show, I've been a little iffy on the Bears, and I would not also be surprised if we saw a team like San Francisco make it as a wild card.
Or Minnesota, maybe.
What I should say is I genuinely think the other wild card team comes out of that division, be it Minnesota, Green Bay, or the Bears. Whoever doesn't win that division, there's going to be another team from that division who makes the playoffs.
Okay.
I think that's the easiest way to put it. But I think the Falcons make the playoffs this year. I think after last year not making it, listen, they were the most banged up defense in the NFL last year. Not saying they would have been a top five defense by any means, fully healthy, but when you lose literally your two best players on a mediocre defense, like you lose the only two Pro Bowl caliber players you have on your defense, you're not going to be able to compete for a playoff spot in the NFL. I think bringing Grady Jarrett back is huge. I think Vic Beasley is going to be good again. I'm excited to see how Tack McKinley does after another year in the NFL. Deion Jones, if he stays healthy, is one of the best middle linebackers in the league. And Keanu Neal's back. So, and at this point, it's really hard to say Keanu Neal's name without thinking about they're making a Matrix 4.
They are.
They're making a Matrix 4 and bringing every character back.
Yeah, Trinity and Neo are back in it. And Lawrence Fishburne and all of them.
And if you want to argue they're both dead, I can tell you you're dumb and don't know enough about the storyline.
Well, I can't argue that because I don't remember the third movie hardly. So
you find out in the end of the second movie that Keanu's character, Neo, is not a... He's a clone. He's the sixth version. Every time the Matrix needs him to basically handle rogue viruses, they just put him into the exact same body. So that's really what was going on at the beginning of the first movie. Cool. So they're just going to clone him again. And if they can clone one person, they can clone anybody. So they'll just clone Trinity. So spoiler alert, anyone who is wondering what's going to happen there, they're probably not going to explain it very much. They're just going to go, well, they're here again. And
well, perfect. That's a perfect segue to talk about the Lakers. well, because I'm going by your question, they're making a Matrix 4. Zach, does it matter?
Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if they're making a Matrix 4. It only matters to me because I love all of the Matrix movies and everyone thought 2 and 3 were trash.
Does it matter? Or is that what your question was? Is it, does it matter?
Doesn't really matter.
Does it really matter? Okay,
they're making a Matrix 4. Doesn't really matter.
Okay,
that movie's got to be sketchy. Is if they are really just replicas put into new bodies from like the memories that they downloaded from these humans.
Sure.
How are they fucking 10 years older?
Oh, yeah.
Like, why would you put them into 10-year-older aged bodies? Why is Trinity and Keanu both 55 now? Is what I'm gonna be my question.
Except for Keanu doesn't look any older.
So Keanu will probably look the same. This will be awesome because he'll finally have to cut that fucking ratty ass hair.
Yeah.
And shave his beard. They're not gonna be able to explain Trinity. That lady's just
I haven't seen her, but I'm sure she doesn't look great.
No, well, she was in all those Marvel movies fine. For Netflix. Or, you know, TV shows. You know what I mean? Like, she was in Daredevil and...
Okay. Okay.
Did you not watch the Netflix Daredevil?
I watched the first couple episodes of the Daredevil.
Oh. Well, spoiler alert, she's old. Okay. That's the whole theory.
Does it really matter? Who would you rather have on your Lakers squad? You're LeBron James, okay? Or you're, I don't know, Genie Bus or somebody. You're somebody who's of significance to the Lakers. Who would you rather have? Would you rather have Dwight Howard, Carmelo Anthony, or a healthy Boogie Cousins?
So, Dwight Howard went to the Lakers this last week.
Hey, he did.
He cleared waivers, even though he had just gotten, like, you know what I mean? Like, seemed like he had just joined the Grizzlies. And then they're like, just kidding. We don't really want him. Someone else can take him.
I'm pissed. I have to return my Grizzlies jersey.
Yeah, now everyone's going to have to return their Dwight Howard Grizzlies jersey that they definitely didn't own.
I'm really excited for that video package that they play.
So,
of all of his Grizzlies highlights.
I know a lot of people are dumping on the move for Dwight Howard going to LA. I think it matters, and here's why. Dwight Howard's last full season, 2017, for the Hornets, not even taking into account the 9 games he played for the Wizards last year, although he still put up 12-9, which in 9 games, I think if he would have played more of a season, I think it would have his numbers would have elevated. His last full season for the Hornets, he put up 16-12, 16.6 points, 12.5 rebounds, and 1.6 blocks a game. He's not going to start every game for L.A., but if he did and he put up those kind of numbers, that is a better season than Boogie Cousins would have had for the Lakers fully healthy. And that is an absolute guarantee. I would rather have Dwight Howard at this point than Boogie Cousins. And we can't say healthy Boogie Cousins because that's never going to happen again. The dude's like torn his ACL multiple times. Yeah. There's no such thing as a healthy Boogie Cousins. A healthy Boogie Cousins is not mobile anymore.
That's true. I guess I unintentionally asked a trick question.
Yeah. So Boogie Cousins last year, now granted we had a 30 game sample size, right?
Right.
He did 16-8. Same amount of blocks a game, more steals, more assists. But that's also a Golden State Warriors team where anyone he passed the ball to immediately shot a three and made it. I think I would rather have Dwight Howard. Now, if we're talking Dwight Howard or Carmelo Anthony, I would argue can't you have both? They're basically both free money-wise.
Yep.
You can have both of them. You're going to get them for veteran minimums. I think Dwight Howard, though, filled out the roster as far as now they have an exactly full roster as far as number of players. So now if they wanted another person, they'd have to get rid of him. I would rather have Dwight Howard. It was a position they needed, right? Yeah. They needed another center. It allows them to do two things. They can play small ball, where Anthony Davis plays center. Next biggest guy on the court can either be LeBron or Kuzma, or depending on what team they're playing, say they're playing San Antonio, they might want to play Anthony Davis and Dwight Howard and start them both. It allows them to have two fringe seven-footers out there to protect
the
rim.
Did they not keep JaVale McGee?
They also have JaVale.
Yeah, so that's another one too.
Yeah, but I'm talking about guys that, you know, play good basketball.
He has some success.
He's a pick and roll guy. He's a rim protector. I agree with all that. Yeah. Dwight Howard is a guy that at one point, you know, took the Orlando Magic all the way to an NBA, finals appearance.
That's true.
So, people can dump on him all they want.
Yeah.
He does seem focused. Some of the interviews I've seen, I think this is at 33 years old is probably a last stop for him. It'll be interesting to see how the LA fans treat him after only spending one season there and then just bailing on them for Houston, where he also didn't have a very good time.
I think he's probably pretty excited. I think he's probably pretty excited to be with Anthony Davis out there and be with LeBron. And
another thing it says to me is, doesn't it show that we're officially in an NBA era where literally the past, and by the past I even mean a season ago, doesn't matter at all anymore? There used to be a point in the NBA where if you spurned a team and left them, they're not going to hire you back. You're not getting a chance to come back to LA and play again. We're at a point where you can be like, oh, yeah, it's like I never even played there before. I'm just going to go there. And it's almost unacknowledged.
It's crazy.
Like, for example, like, say Kawhi played 1 year for the Clippers and then was just like, you know what? I want to go back to San Antonio.
Oh, they'd
just
both come back with hands, open arms.
We'd be like, cool. That's awesome. I don't even remember you leaving. It's whatever. I think these are all consequences of LeBron James, right?
Let's go to the big one, actually. Do you think right now, or let's say next year, LeBron goes, I want to go back home to Cleveland again. Do you think they take him back?
Well, 100%. Cleveland's going to be absolute water trash next year.
Right. But, I mean, do you think the city, though? The city would hang up.
Oh, they don't care at this point. They're not even mad that he left at all. Right. You know what I mean? Like, no one there was like, cool. They were like, let's get him out of here. We need to tank so we can get another good couple of draft picks and start this shit over again.
Right.
But, I don't think that happens, though. Like, I would say there's a 0% chance. LeBron lives in L.A. He's not going anywhere else ever. But I know what you're getting at. Yeah. I think no matter what people say, because a lot of people – it's not even that a lot of people are dumping on Dwight Howard going to L.A. It's that a lot of people are just saying, well, it doesn't really matter. You know what I mean? He's 33. He's not putting up numbers anymore. But my argument is his last healthy season where he played 81 games was only a season ago. He went 16-12.
Right.
If Dwight Howard goes 16-12 in L.A., a team that has Avery Bradley coming off the bench, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, I don't even know in certain lineups if Kuzma starts, it's a deep team now.
Yeah.
Not only that, but like we don't even have to get to the depth of the roster. We can just say, like, LeBron James and Anthony Davis, and that's almost enough said.
Yeah.
I would say that out of all the centers they were looking at signing, Dwight Howard has the most value and or upside.
Yep.
That's so it means something.
Well, I think that's it. I think we'll leave off with that. Make sure you check out our Pigskin Pick'em. We'll have that up. I'll work on that this week, honestly.
Yep. Shout out to last year's winner one more time because I just saw he joined the page, champion of the world.
Paul Page. He won last year. Sorry, Paul Page. If I saw you right now, I'd hug you for your Andrew Luck loss. I stole that.
Yes, absolutely.
Poor guy.
Truly a dude that everyone loved, and no one dislikes that guy. And if you do, there's something wrong with you.
Don't forget to chime in on our Facebook page or on the YouTube channel and let us know whether or not you drafted Andrew Luck for your fantasy team and whether or not he owes you an apology. And if you say yes, we'll tell you you're wrong on the air.
Yeah, I actually want an apology for just everyone who could have done more better last year for me.
Yeah, yeah. I want that too for you. Thanks everybody for listening to the show. We'll see you next weekend. Do you think we'll do one more Sunday show, or do you want to go back to Saturday?
We'll play it by ear.
Okay.
What's that? We won't make any announcements right now.
We're not committing.
We could do one more Sunday show. If we do next year or next week, we're doing the AFC and NFC East.
Yes.
Which?
Yes.
I mean, spoiler alert: there's only one team in the AFC East, so.
Yeah. But there's interest from me, though. I'm interested in Le'Veon Bell. Oh, I think next week, too, we will select our official team of sports program for this next year. I think we're pretty much...
it's our last show before the season starts, so yeah. We also have to do two things that we haven't done yet.
Yeah.
We have to do our two soon Super Bowl picks as well as... Worst to first
and two student Super Bowl picks. We will do that. We will select. We get a big docket next week. That's it. I mean, this is the last one before the regular season starts. We need to choose who we got going to the Super Bowl this year, and we need to choose who was the worst team last year. Worst to first. Which one who was the worst team last year will be first? I think there's a couple potentials out there, actually.
Well, and yeah, I guess if you've been paying attention for the last 3 weeks of the show, we kind of already said there was one team that we both thought could make the playoffs this year that was the bottom of the division. But if you have not been paying attention, here's your chance to get caught up, fools.
Absolutely. All right, everybody, thank you, and have a great weekend. We will see you soon. Make sure you smash that like and subscribe button on YouTube.
Like and subscribe.
Thanks, everybody.